Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
It's another Cover Your Assets KC podcast. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City and the surrounding communities with an office in Overland Park. Find us online by going to coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. That's also where you can submit your questions to possibly be featured on a future show. It's all at coveryourassetskc.com. And we'll put a link to the website in the description of today's show. And David, great to be with you once again. It's one of my favorite editions of the program. Every couple of months, we take some listener questions that have kind of compiled over the last couple of months of doing this show and taking questions from folks who come in to meet with you. And we take some of the cool ones and premiere them here on the show for other people to listen to. And I bet we're going to have some listeners identify with a few of the question askers on today's show. What do you think?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think these are three pretty good questions. I get them a lot just with people that I sit across the desk from. So hopefully these will be interesting to our listeners on the podcast.
The dollar amounts may be a little bit different than your situation. Maybe the exact details might be a little bit different than what you're going through. But I bet some of the details that these people have going on will be similar to your situation, that you'll be able to garner some interesting info on today's show. We're going to cover a lot of ground. We're going to talk about 401ks, mutual funds and IRAs, and a little bit of Social Security and income planning talk all on the show today and on the agenda in some of these questions. So here's the first one for you, David. Question came in from a listener. I have almost $500,000 in my 401k, and I increase my percentage of contribution a little bit each year when I get a raise. Good to hear. I've read about the importance of rebalancing, but don't understand the benefit, so I don't ever do it. Should I?
Okay. Well, first of all, congrats. Not necessarily on the dollar amount, because, you know, dollar amounts are relative to wherever you are. But congrats on increasing that contribution percentage every year when you get that raise. I think that's a fantastic way to feather your own retirement nest, take care of yourself in future years. And when it's coming out of that paycheck every 2 weeks and you don't see it go into your checking account, I mean, it's almost an effortless way to save for your retirement. So good for you on that. So I think rebalancing is super important. And you're not alone in saying, I don't do it, because I see a lot of portfolios come in that haven't been rebalanced in a very long time. So I'm going to give you an example real similar to something that I had seen recently. It's very common for me to see a portfolio that, so when I look at a portfolio, I break it down by percentage invested in stocks, percentage invested in bonds. Stocks tend to be way more volatile and have more upside, more gain potential. Bonds tend to be a stabilizer, so when the stuff's hitting the fan in the market, well, your bonds tend to improve a little bit and be very steady. So I guess the first question would be, why do people have so much money allocated to stocks in their 401ks? And the reason that I get is when they sign up for their 401k, they look at which funds have done the best over the last year or two, and they say, well, I want to be in those. Well, if the market's been going up over the last 2 or 3 years, those are going to be stock funds. So it's not at all uncommon to see somebody have 80 or 90 or 100% of their 401k in stocks. So here's an example of a rebalance and why this is important. I'm going to take 2017, 18, and 19 as my example years. I'm going to use the Standard & Poor's 500 and the bond aggregate. So kind of the symbol is AGG, but it's the aggregate of all the bonds that are issued in America, government and corporate bonds. So let's just say that you choose a 60% stock, 40% bond allocation based on your risk tolerance. Maybe you got some advice from somebody who helps run your 401k. So your $500,000 would be invested $300,000 in stocks and $200,000 in bonds. Okay, 60-40, you've got a $500,000 portfolio. So $300,000 of it is in stock. In 3 years, so just to go back, the Standard & Poor's 500 in 2017 gained about 20%. In 2018, it was down about 6%, and in 2019, it was up about 30%. The bonds were up about 2% in 2017, down a little bit in 2018, and up about 7% in 2019. So stocks have done way better than bonds over that period of time. the calculations I did show that at the end of that three-year period, what you thought was a 60% allocation to stock has become almost a 70% allocation to stock. In other words, without you doing anything, you've increased the risk in your portfolio. Had you rebalanced on a regular basis, you would have gone back to that 60% stock, 40% bond allocation, which you're comfortable with. When you sit down and look at things, you were comfortable at 60%, 40%. But the market has grown a lot, which caused the stock portion of your portfolio to all of a sudden become well more than you wanted it to be. That's perfectly great as long as the market keeps going up and up and up. But what happens when you have a stock market crash that maybe goes down, say, 34% in 4 weeks, like we just had this last March? Kind of came out of nowhere. And then you get your 401k statement and you're shocked to see that your 401k has lost a couple hundred thousand dollars. Well, if you're in your 30s, well, you probably don't have a $500,000 401k. But if you're 58 or 59 or 62 and you've all of a sudden lost a couple of hundred thousand dollars, you're likely going to sell something and go into safer investments because you're going to look in the mirror and say, wait a minute, I need this money and I need it pretty quick because I'm getting ready to retire. So that's exactly what you don't want to do. And you've put yourself in that position because you got over allocated to stocks because you never rebalanced. And all a rebalance does, most 401k programs allow you to basically hit a button and rebalance back to that 60% stock, 40% bond allocation. If you're an aggressive person, maybe it's 80%, 20%. If you're super conservative, maybe you just want 40% in the market and 60% in bonds. Whatever that is, by rebalancing, you get brought back to what you chose as the portfolio allocation, the risk allocation that you want. How often should you do that? Well, if you have a 401k, I'd suggest that you rebalance semi-annually. You can do that on daylight savings time. You can do that on Christmas Day and June 30th, however you can figure it out for yourself. But you really ought to do that twice a year. If you've got an advisor that's helping you, hopefully they're doing periodic rebalances, but you should inquire, how often do you rebalance my account and what's the process you do for that? And hopefully he or she is in the habit of rebalancing you at least a couple times a year. So fantastic question. Congrats on all you're doing, but make sure you do yourself a favor and start rebalancing that 401k at least a couple times a year.
It's a great question. Yep. And rebalancing is an important topic to make sure that you get a decent understanding of, and some great questions there that people can ask their current advisor, David, if they aren't sure if they're rebalancing or not. Or if you manage your own financial plan, you essentially are your own advisor. So ask yourself those questions. And if you don't know the answers, it might be time to inquire further or get a new advisor. Fire yourself and hire an advisor to help you manage these things because it's an important part of the process for sure. Here's another good listener question that's come in over the last couple of months. Again, you can go to coveryourassetskc.com to ask any of your questions that you might have on the show. I counted up the mutual funds in my IRA. I feel like you get this question probably every once in a while, David. you can tell where this one's going. And it looks like I have 33 different funds. Is that adequate diversification? So we had one buzzword of rebalancing. Now we've got another mutual funds and diversification. That's always a big buzzword in the financial world.
Yes. So this listener, I a lot of times refer to this as the illusion of diversification. So the Standard & Poor's 500 is actually pretty well diversified amongst 500 stocks. And if you get one that's position weighted, then you have 1/500th of your money in each of those stocks. So, Walter, I'm going to use an analogy here I hope is going to be helpful to our listeners. You've probably had an art class when you were in grade school or high school.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My seventh grade art teacher. Now, I'm 62 years old, so this was a long time ago, but it made a big impression on me. So, Mrs. Garrett, she had a palette of colors, and she started putting, a red and a blue, and of course that makes purple. And as she added more and more colors, she'd get different colors. But once she added about 8 colors in, it just made black.
Right.
So the more you add in, the diversification you're trying to get actually turns into a big muddy puddle. And a perfect example of this is a couple of weeks ago, I was doing a portfolio analysis for somebody, and they had about a little over 20 mutual funds. But when I did the analysis, that portfolio had a correlation, a historic correlation to the S&P 500 of 1-to-1. So all of this perceived diversification ended up doing nothing except getting them right back to the S&P 500. Now, most listeners to this podcast would know that the studies have shown that most mutual fund managers do not beat their index. Yet, the average cost of a mutual fund is about a 1% expense ratio. And they charge you that while they're trying to beat the index that they just can't beat. So many or most index mutual funds charge about 90% less than that. So if you're going to end up with an index result, you may as well pay an index fee and save yourself some money. This listener has 33 different funds, and if we did an analysis of that, my guess is that what they have is a correlation that's extremely similar to the S&P 500. What I'd encourage them to do, you could probably get all the diversification you need by using 3 or 4 or 5 well-picked mutual funds. 33 just defeats the purpose. Now, if you're a really good do-it-yourselfer, then you should do a little bit of research and figure out, do I want to be in large cap growth? Do I think large cap value has value here? Do I just want to be in the S&P 500? Maybe I want a portion of mine indexed to an international basket of stocks. If you're a good do-it-yourselfer, you can do that and end up with 5 good picks, and you'll have all the diversification you need. If you're not a good do-it-yourselfer, there's probably somebody who advises people in your 401k on how to get the appropriate amount of diversification without being over-diversified in a silly fashion. If this is an IRA rollover and it's not in a 401k, do a lot of good reading if you're a good do-it-yourselfer. Find an advisor who can help you understand that if you're not a do-it-yourselfer. But by adding more and more funds, you're really not going to accomplish your goal.
I really like, by the way, feel free to use this more in the future. I really like the paint analogy. That was a good one.
That Mrs. Garrett.
First time I've heard that one. And by the way, for anybody who's maybe feeling a bit sheepish because you thought the same thing about 33 different mutual funds would give you plenty of diversification, I thought the exact same thing when I first got into this whole world of financial planning and, you know, talking to people like David and, you know, doing this show and interviewing financial advisors. I would have asked that exact same question. I would have emphatically said, I know what diversification is. You need a whole bunch of mutual funds and stocks and you're good to go. So I'm right on board with that. I think it's a very logical thing to assume right out of the gate. Seems like it makes sense, right? But I think it's a great explanation, David, of how you end up with just the, you know, everything turns into black paint instead of getting, you know, different colors that you're trying to achieve with that diversification. So very good example. Last listener question to feature on today's show. We've covered some good ground already, from rebalancing to diversification. We just did an episode on Social Security, and here's a listener question that dabbles in the Social Security realm. Can you clarify, David, whether I can start my Social Security benefit and still earn an income or not? I've heard different things and am confused about my options.
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I didn't cover that in any detail on last week's podcast, so I'm glad we got this question. The answer is, it depends. So everybody probably, that's not necessarily true. You need to know your full retirement age to answer the question. So my full retirement age, I was born in 1958. So my full retirement age is when I'm 66 and 8 months. If you're born after 1960, then your full retirement age is 67. So let's assume that this listener is born after 1960. He or she then is full retirement age at 67. So if they start taking Social Security at 65 before their full retirement age, they can earn up to $18,240 a year and not have to pay any money back to the Social Security Administration. So let's say that you retired early at 65, you start taking Social Security, and you have a gig job. You earn $18,240 a year or less. You just earn that money, and Social Security Administration just keeps on sending you the check. But let's say that your gig job earns you $2,000 a month, so $24,000 a year. That's $5,760 above what you can earn without having to pay some back. And what you have to do is pay half of that amount that's over the $18,240 back to the Social Security Administration. So your excess was $5,760. You owe the Social Security Administration half of that, or $2,880 back, because you made what they consider to be too much money before your full retirement age. But the good news is, once this person gets to be 67, they can earn as much money as they want, as long as they want, for as many years as they want, and they don't have to pay any of their Social Security back. You might remember from last week's podcast, that was a change that was made during Bill Clinton's administration, where there used to be a test to say, are you fully retired? Now, once you reach your full retirement age, you can earn as much as you want in outside income, and it doesn't affect how much of your Social Security you get to keep. One other thing, it's a little bit down in the weeds, but in the year that you reach your full retirement age, it's not $18,240 that's the maximum. It's actually $48,600. So in the year that you reach your full retirement age, you can earn a good amount of money without it impacting how much of your Social Security you have to give back.
That's helpful. Would you say that Social Security, diversification, rebalancing, the three questions from today's show, all pretty common topics that you're addressing in the offices of KC Financial Advisors?
Those are super common topics. They're topics that, in my position, you can tend to take for granted that everybody knows those answers, but there's a whole lot of misunderstanding about each of those three. And so when I saw those as questions, I thought, fantastic. That's an entire podcast where I think our listeners, at least one of those, ought to be a burning question in a lot of people's minds. So hopefully this has been really helpful today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope so as well. If you have any questions about what we've talked about, or maybe have a question of your own, hey, David, you didn't talk about XYZ, whatever might be on your mind, you don't have to wait for us to one day feature the question here on the podcast. You can certainly reach out to David and the team and ask your questions at any time. If you want to get in touch, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call 913-317-1414. Again, that's 913-317-1414. Or you can go online to coveryourassetskc.com. Again, that's coveryourassetskc.com. That's your way to get in touch with us via the web. And you can ask your questions there online or schedule a time to meet with David and make sure that you're on the right track to get to and all the way through retirement. David, thanks for the help on today's show. Enjoyed the guidance and the assistance, and always love when we get the opportunity to answer these kinds of questions. We cover a lot of ground, and thanks again for your advice and guidance.
Yep, my pleasure. I'll look forward to next time, Walter.
Have a good one. That's David Dickens. I'm Walter Storholt. Thanks for listening. Hope you are well. Thanks for tuning into the show, and we'll talk to you next time on the Cover Your Assets KC Podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.